RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Cameron Luxton is an ACT MP. He's from Tauranga, ACT spokesman for transport, infrastructure, local government, conservation, housing, building, construction. So he's probably quite a busy chap, but he's made some time to join us this morning on RCR. Hi, Cameron. Welcome to the radio station. I think it's your first visit.
It is. Good morning, Paul. Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, you're from Tauranga.
I'm an ACT MP. I'm based in Tauranga, but I've spent my whole life in the Bay of Plenty and grew up in Tauranga. You know, watching our town develop for the good and the bad, but what we've seen over some time is the marine industries, particularly the fishing industry, having their occupying space where they can actually conduct their business for the good of the community and the entire economy are being restricted. So it's turned out that the commercial fishing fleet has been brought down to one wharf, and I should just tell your listeners, although I understand that you guys have been following this story quite closely.
Yes, we have. We've had Erica Harvey on and others talking about this. Yep.
Yeah, good. I'm glad to hear it. So I mean, but anyone not in Tauranga, where you go from Balmolanui over our harbour bridge to the Tauranga side of the harbour, just on the right-hand side there, there's a big concreted area. That's the marine precinct. Now, this piece of land was a strategic asset, which was downgraded by the council under the control of unelected commissioners and subsequently sold to a developer. And it's just, I mean, we've got a fishing industry here, so, you know, you can imagine fish everywhere, but I've got to say, this stinks to high heaven. Yeah. And so I took a step of writing to the Auditor General, just a request that the Auditor General conduct an investigation into the sale and the surrounding circumstances of the sale, for that is the downgrading of the asset from strategic, so that it could be sold without public consultation.
So it smells fishy, to use that appropriate term in this case. What about also taking on the liability as well, the $30 million? What's all that about?
So the liability to upgrade the fisherman's wharf you're talking about, the bridge wharf. Yeah, so there's a piece of infrastructure jutting out into the harbour, a long-term piece of infrastructure, which is the fisherman's wharf with a commercial fleet dock. Now, that's, you know, as I say, it's an aging piece of infrastructure. And being in a marine environment, you can imagine it needs an upgrade, and it certainly does. But the council is still on the hook for somewhere between $25 up to $30 million to upgrade that infrastructure, which is intrinsically connected to this marine precinct. So the worry that I have and others share is that the ability for the council to recoup the costs, which is liable for in upgrading this infrastructure, they don't actually have an ability to recoup those costs, and a private landowner now will be able to benefit from having this piece of infrastructure paid for by the public, connected and adjacent to their piece of land with no ability to cost share on that.
I think when we chatted with Erica about this a week or two ago, and also in her social media posts, I think she's connected to the fishing industry. It seems that the private owner is interested in luxury yachts, you know, visiting. And I suppose there's some economic benefit in that. But it seems that the fishing industry way dwarfs that potential massively. So you wonder why this is happening. You know,
well, I've seen Eric that his numbers shoots saying that the commercial fishing industry can be around about $100 million for the local economy, and that each super yacht would be around $70,000 to $100,000 worth of benefit to the local economy. I mean, the marine precinct it has a covenant over it for marine allocated activities. So, you know, they both fall into that. But, I mean, there's been assertions made that people have fallen for a glossy pamphlet. I personally think it's a good idea to have as much industry as we can have and diversity of industry, but when one is displacing another and the benefits from one, that being the fishing industry, are so high compared to a new industry, that being, you know, super yacht servicing and painting and associated industry, you know, you do have to wonder about the decision that was taken by the commissioners to actually sell this asset. And I've heard that there's a plan for the fisherman's wharf, which, again, for people not in Tauranga, is up harbour from the harbour bridge. up towards the CBD.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's not a lot of land there. That's
on the city side, right?
Yeah, there's not a lot of land there at Bishop's Wall. It's on the city side, like I say. There's a road blocking it off. But at the same time, you know, these commercial boats, they can't necessarily all get underneath the Harbour Bridge. Yeah. So the plan, instead of being consulted, it seems like there was a complete lack of consultation happening with the long-standing fishing industry of the area. And if they'd had a say, they might have pointed out this obvious issue. But you know, at the end of the day, we've got a sale that's gone through that, based on a previously strategic asset that has been downgraded. I mean, I just think that the Auditor General has got a prime case to have a look at. So I've written to the Auditor General. Now, it is up to the controller of the Auditor General to make a call on whether they think there is enough evidence to start an investigation. But I think raising this to their concern for them to be able to investigate is a thing that needs to happen. And, you know, Tauranga has had an unelected commission running the place. It was a whole lot of decision that I'm not saying that they were in any way illegitimate, but they were, from my perspective, not democratically enforced. And I think that's why we need to have democracy in New Zealand and being upheld. And now that we've got an elected council, I think there is a lot of good faith in the mayor, that the community has in the mayor and the other elected councillors, to put Tauranga on a better path. So to get all the things that the people of Tauranga want, which is, you know, improved transport, better public amenities, but also keeping this debt and rates under control, which we have got a massive issue with. So all of that coming together, I think there's a better path for Tauranga. We need to put the record straight on where we have been under the commissioner's tenure. And I think that having an investigation into such a fishy deal is a good idea.
Fishy deal.
Frame where we've been.
Yeah. I want to ask you about this before our time is up. Your colleague, Todd Stevenson, has suggested in the Justice Committee's inquiry into the 2023 election and is calling for, I think, an end to broadcast allocation for election campaigns. Seems like a bit of an artifact, a hangover from another era now. Would that be some way of describing it?
I suppose, as you say, I'm not on that Justice Committee doing
it. No, but you'll have thoughts. But
I will say, it does seem odd that legacy parties can have a allocation based on, you know, first-past-the-post system. And minor parties, although, you know, as MMP in New Zealand has developed, getting a bigger and bigger say and having a bigger and bigger impact and influence and support base, I think it's fair that we reassess this. And,
well, social media drives it now, doesn't it? Legacy media, can we agree here? The legacy media might not be completely dead, but it's dying, isn't it?
Well, I mean, you look at Jenny May's interview with on Breakfast the other day with David Seymour around the Tree of Principle, Phil. I mean, you got whatever it got, 50,000 views on the broadcast on the legacy media. It's had, you know, God knows how many, 200,000, 500,000, over 500,000 views potentially on social media. It just proves where people's attention is going.
Yeah, and also it skews the playing field. And also, doesn't it deny new entrants? It just keeps the old... Well, I know the system's been modified since MMP. That was a big point there. But it just gives such an advantage to the legacy political parties. No one can get in, and I don't know about everyone else, but I want to see new people, new ideas coming up, like yourself, like New Zealand First. I mean, I know you guys have been around for a while, but new parties and groupings of people able to push through, you know?
Yeah, I think that's what our democracy, and that's what the people who chose MMP wanted to see in their democracy. I think, Todd's raised this as an issue, and rightfully so, because it's something that has been around for too long. It was pointed, and it's time to have a decent investigation and conversation about it.
And everybody, if you think you've got something, you go out, you raise your own support, your own funds, and that's a test in of itself, right?
Well, I can't remember the number. We have a large number of smaller donations, some generous large donations, but a hell of a lot of people support us with smaller donations because they can see that the way that the ACT Party can get its message out is through social media and going directly to voters, and who don't always have a lot of time to sit down in the morning and watch breakfast or at 6 o'clock come and sift through the news. And so, you know, going straight to the people who make the decision in our democracy is something that we are greatly in support of.
Okay, circling back just to end, how long does it take to hear back from the Auditor General?
But the Auditor General, they sent me an auto-generated acknowledgement.
auto-general?
Yes, but so the auto-general, an auto-generated acknowledgement saying they've received the letter. So I'm going to, I sent that on the 5th, on Guy Fawkes Day, fortuitously. I will definitely be following up with them if I don't hear back properly. But it's up to the Auditor General whether they launch this investigation. If they perceive there is enough information there, and it fits within the agreement, but I believe it does.
All right, nice to have you on the program this morning, ACT MP Cameron Luxton, and hopefully we'll chat again, Cameron. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you very much, Paul. Appreciate it.
Hi, Peter Williams here. Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email or hit the join email button on your RCR app.